and the Crimson Dynamo finally assured me, well, I knew.
You want some more little robbery? That was two happened at a quarter to three in the main street.
So we went out.
I need to entertain you, man.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station. And we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRailia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are joined by our illustrious producer, Shecky Feldstein.
Oh, why, hello, hello.
Hey, Shex.
Shecky, hey. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. You know, I hear that there's big blizzards coming in East Coast, but we're just going to get a little wet, a little windy and wet.
I hope that's what it is. I don't want to, you know, as much as I'd like to have a snow day, I got too much work to do.
Listen,
you know.
Listen, a snow day is terrible, but a snow day on a Wednesday, new comic book day.
It's worse for you.
Is worse.
Yeah.
Not for me. For the whole world.
People
got to get
right.
to their comics.
That is
you know
true.
You know what? Working in a comic book store, I bet you really get to filter out, you know, the diehards who got to get that book because they come crawling in.
So true.
That's right.
10
they got
snow.
Those guys with the beards that got the icicles on them because they've been
the
waiting outside.
Just frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. So they get that variant.
Yeah,
I got to have that variant, man.
I like it.
Sorry, buddy. Sold it on eBay an hour ago.
Thanks
for coming out here.
Well, we are here to talk
a parting gift.
We're here to talk about comic books.
Yeah, we are.
Believe it or not. And for those of you who are new listeners, every week, Walter, Shecky, and I like to get together here and talk about new this week, comic books that are coming out on the newsstands today, as well as talking about industry news. And so let's start out with a little bit of new this week with a sponsor.
All right, sponsoring us now. It should be an umbrella company, really, with all the rain that you're going to need walking.
True
here.
Enough, eh?
New this week, brought to us by none other than Deadpool, because after making so much money, he figured he may as well help out the small fries.
Oh, that's so nice
small
of him.
Fries.
Small
that's
fries.
That's what I order all the time.
I've seen you order before. There's never a small
fry. Never a small
no,
fry.
You know what you do? You order like eight of them, because then you say, oh, yeah, it's for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're in the meal deal,
you
right?
You just combine them all in like a big bucket, like a popcorn bucket.
I get it for the toys.
Uh-huh.
So listen, show us your stack.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I like to show my stuff, show my goods.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about some new this week. So first one I want to talk about is a comic we've never, ever, ever talked about before on the show.
Ever?
Because it's number one and it's new.
Okay.
So it's Gingerbread Man number one.
Oh.
Now, this is...
hey, hold on. You show me the cover. And right away it reminded me of that. What's that doll?
Chucky
E. Cheese?
Chucky, yeah. Child's Play.
Chucky.
Not Chucky Cheese.
Not Chucky Cheese.
No skee ball in this one.
Chucky.
No skee ball.
Yeah, it reminded me of Chucky a
little
bit.
That's right. So this is...
Is it supposed to?
I don't think so.
No?
So I think it's based on a movie by...
It's based on Chucky.
No, it's based on a movie called The Gingerbread... Ginger Dead... Actually, sorry. I'm sorry. It's not Gingerbread Man. It's Ginger Dead Man.
Whoa.
Oh, man. You blew that. Oh, my God.
So that isn't just... Pasta sauce on the cover.
It really isn't. So it's by Full Moon Features and Action Lab Entertainment. So Action Lab also gives you such comic book greats as Zombie Tramp and Holy F Expletive. I can't actually say what it is.
Right.
But yes. So they do a lot of different mature type comics. So this is Gingerbread number one, and based on, as I said, the movie. Sorry, Ginger Dead Man. I keep on saying that wrong. Anyways, I actually quite enjoy it. It's a fun comic. It's a refreshing comic. And I'm gonna show Walt the last page of the book. Ginger Dead Man has chopped off someone's finger and has placed it in his nether regions.
Nice.
For those of you out there playing the home version.
So listen, for all of you sick, twisted, demented individuals looking for something to read, head into your local comic book shop today and pick up Ginger Dead Man number one.
Perfect. All right. Next up, we have... This is interesting. This is an interesting book by Marvel.
More interesting than that one that you just read?
A different kind of interest.
In a different kind of way?
A real different kind.
Different kind of way. So this is The Avengers. However, this is the Marvel Cinematic Guidebook. So for those of you who are interested in the just basically the movies that are coming out from Marvel, this is a book that you can buy that has it's like a guidebook to everything that's happening. So it's got all the different characters in it. It's got Thor updates. It's got S.H.I.E.L.D. It's got World Security Council. It's got a Jarvis update. So it's got all the different characters that have appeared, and then a little blurb about where they first appeared in the comics.
So there's no original content. It's just a guidebook.
It's just a guidebook. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. They're eating shawarma on the cover.
Yeah, I like that cover.
I love that cover. Yeah. All right, so that's the Avengers guidebook.
That's right.
That really won't give you anything new. You know what it reminds me of? Remember, Chris, remember when we were kids?
I sure do, Walt.
Remember those like magazines, like Teen Magazine, where you just open it up and just be pictures of
Teen
Sean
Beat
Cassidy
magazine,
and
yeah,
you know,
Tiger
whatever.
Beat. Yeah. Yeah.
And so
Pizazz.
This is basically this. You open it up and there's pictures of Iron Man and pictures of Thor.
Yeah,
and
you can
and
cut them out and paste them on your wall.
Pictures
and put
of
them
Hulk.
In your locker.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, pick it up. You might even learn something.
Thanks, Bill Cosby. All right, so let's next up I want to talk about Carnage. This is Carnage number 5. Hard to believe it's still going, but
a lot of faith in that one.
Well,
at number 5, eh?
Yeah.
Hard to believe it's still going at number 5.
You know what? Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the Carnage franchise, if you want to call it that. But
well, a lot of other people are, Chris.
I know.
The kids love them.
I'm in the minority. Yeah. I'm in the minority. It's a you know, a harsh take on Venom, which isn't even a harsh take on Spider-Man. So, you know, it's just a not
it's
a
harsh.
Big, harsh.
Harsh, harsh. Yeah. Hey, Carnage number 5, the harsh take.
The harsh take.
Is available at your local comic book shop
all
today.
Right. Next up, completely different type of book. We got Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat.
Hellcat.
Hellcat. Well, Jim, what was the first appearance of Hellcat there, Walt?
Oh, I'm going to say Avengers 144.
Oh, we'll have to look that up later on the show. See if you're
you didn't
right.
even know the answer.
No,
well,
I have
that's
no
good.
Idea.
I like to ask.
I'm going to say.
You could say anything. I wouldn't.
Detective 10.
I just. I'm pretty sure it's not Detective 10.
All right.
Anyways, Hellcat number 3. We've got some guest appearances. I don't want to talk about anybody in particular. However,
don't do it.
However,
Chris.
The person that's playing this character rhymes with Cumberbatch.
Wow.
Yes. So I don't want to say anything too much about that.
Hellcat number 3, Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat, available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Then I want to turn to Aquaman. Aquaman number 49. So this is one of the few titles.
King of Atlantis.
King of the Seas. This is one of the few comics that has actually made it. You know, it's from one of the original New 52s.
Yeah.
It's up to issue number 49 now. And I just like the cover. I like the cover because it's Aquaman and Mera coming out of the ocean on a sandy beach where all kinds of people are sunning and having a great time.
Light
and
color, like pasteled almost. Like
yeah.
Very,
like
yeah,
it
looks like
vibrant.
Summertime. Reminds me of summertime.
Yeah.
In Cape Cod.
Yeah.
Oh. Aquaman number 49, available at your local comic book shop and perhaps your local swimming pools today.
Very possible.
And you know what I have to point out that I don't really love on such a book like that is, I don't know if DC has it on a lot of them. The one in your hand now, no, that doesn't have it. But you see the Batman versus Superman, it's like an ad.
Yeah, the little banner up on the top.
Banner ad at the top. I don't like that on the cover. Why? Yeah.
You know
why
what? They've been doing that for decades.
Yeah. I know, I don't like it either.
They did that
for Superman
3
and Superman 1
and Superman
2.
I don't like the cover ad. You know what? Leave it like a wholesome, just
wholesome.
Image
wholesome.
By the artist.
Shecky likes it wholesome.
Yeah, that's not what I've heard. But anyways.
Kosher.
Justice League number 48, The Dark Side War Part 8 is also out on your newsstand today. I really have nothing to say about it.
Well, except a plug for Justice League number 48,
right.
The Dark Side War Part 8
yep.
at your local comic book shop today.
Now, Superman number 49. The reason why I chose this one, I do like the cover.
You're really trying to help DC out. I remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about DC floundering
a
little bit.
They are, but you know what? They need help. They need help.
If anyone can turn DC around, it's Chris.
That's right.
Yes.
Number 49, Superman.
It's got that Neil Adams.
This is
the cover.
You know, I was trying to tell you that this was actually drawn by Neil Adams.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the bottom left hand corner, so
Beasley's in there too.
Well, because he recreated that particular. Drawing because that's originally a Batman drawing, right?
Yes.
So, but it's done in Superman.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it.
Why don't you like it? What's not to like?
It's too red.
to red. I see. So Superman books to red.
This is a communist book, Chris, and I'm not going to stand for it. All right, Superman number 49, available at your local communist bookshop today.
Your local communist bookshop. Now, we haven't talked about this before, but this is making the news all over them, their internets.
All right, okay. It's all over the place.
All over the place. So I want to talk about, this is Valiant Comics Faith, number one. So Faith is a superhero, but she's kind of a different superhero because, as you can see, she is unlike other superheroes who are, you know, other superheroes are
right.
meant to portray a perfect specimen. Well, she is right. not.
She's a plus-size girl.
Right. And I think it's great that they're trying to embrace all different types of body type images
Excellent.
In comic books. And why couldn't someone who is a plus-size be a superhero?
Absolutely. So, hey, listen.
So Faith number one came out last month, but number two is on the newsstand today. Any comic book shop worth their salt will have copies of second printings of number one, which right. is what you're holding in your hands.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris. Faith number one and number two available at your local comic book shop today. All right. Check them out. Chris, that's it.
That's all I got. All
right, excellent. Well, that's plenty. There are thousands, if not tens of thousands or more titles available at your local comic book shop today. So please head in and peruse the new this week.
Perfect. Sounds good. All right. Let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we will get back to more talk about comic books.
Yeah, and because you two doughheads tried to sing it, let's hear what it should sound like.
Oh, all right. Let's hear it.
Aquaman.
Do, 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 do.
Aquaman.
I think we did it better.
Absolutely. We did way better.
All right. That, of course, was Aquaman by Count Basie and his orchestra.
That's right. Yeah.
And that takes us to industry news. And, Jackie, do we have a sponsor for industry news?
Oh, you know we do. And, hey, look, this one's also by Deadpool.
Oh, how about that?
And he wants to tell the world that with all the money spent to see his film, he plans to swim in a pool of chimichangas.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't mind doing that myself, actually.
I don't know what a chimichanga is.
It's like a Mexican food.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Or yeah, we'll just Southwest food. I don't know what
Tex-Mex?
Tex-Mex, maybe. Yeah, something like that.
All right, spicy just beans went past in me. There, perhaps. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, listen. Let's talk about... So you fellers. Went to see the Deadpool.
I did. And actually, Shecky and I went together. We actually spent a little bit of time outside.
Quality
of the,
time together.
That's right, yeah.
And
so let me ask you guys, did you enjoy the movie?
Absolutely.
Great movie. Yeah. Loved it. Yeah. That was great. Yeah, yeah.
You say lighthearted. It's rated R and there's lots of blood and murder and stuff. But it's so casual. It's so comic booky with a lot of breaking of the fourth wall and cracking jokes to you. It was good. And I want to say it's, you know, fun for the whole family, but
it's not like, fun
really
for
is
the
not.
Family.
Well, no. You know. Do not take your kids.
I'm sure the little ones, they love it too.
well,
listen, you guys apparently aren't the only ones because this thing is now the number one X-Men movie of all time.
Crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. Now the because Fox has this franchise based on them having the X-Men universe.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So they had Deadpool because he belonged in the X-Men universe.
Right, yep. Right.
So here they go, and they make these X-Men movies, you know, the heavyweights with all these actors and all this and all that. And then they kind of, you know, okay, we got to make this Deadpool. What's his name? Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this guy wants to make it an R.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. Let's just go easy. Let's go light on the budget because we don't think this R is going to work.
That's
so
right.
What they
yeah.
do? Sink $58 million into it or
something
like
that. Yeah, yeah.
And then boom.
Yeah.
Like the best, biggest X movie gate ever.
Yeah. So from what I heard, Ryan Reynolds had a lot to do with the making of the movie and mm-hmm. a lot of the improv and that kind of thing as well. But yeah, it's biggest R-rated gate ever, mm-hmm. and now the biggest X-Men movie ever.
Wow. Which is weird because, I mean, the reboots of the two, the First Class and the Days of Future, I thought they were really great films. They received really good reviews. People were glad that X-Men got done in a different way, and they loved it. Yep. And I'm surprised that they didn't get more longevity and more money in total the run.
Yeah, yeah. No, but...
Okay, here's a question I'm going to ask you guys. Isn't it funny? It's not a question. It's more of an observation.
Okay.
But you can take it as a question if you'd like.
I'll try.
In other words, comment on it if you wish.
I will.
Mm-hmm.
If you let me get to it, I'll start.
Maybe you'll actually, you know, say something.
All right. So isn't it fun how that old structured paradigm of the hierarchy of comics
right.
That existed in the comic book world that everybody assumed, the corporates assumed, that would transfer over into the film world.
Right.
How every now and then it gets kind of uprooted onto its butt. Like the last time that happened was like the Guardians of the Galaxy
type of thing.
It's
right.
you know, this thing shouldn't work as well as our, you know, main Thor movie because Thor has been, you know, one of the vanguards of Marvel, and yet Guardians blows it away and that type of
Spider-Man
thing.
Spider-Man tanks.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, the X-Men proper should be just annihilating a Deadpool movie.
Right.
And they make this thing going in thinking, well, let's just throw some money at it and
we'll
do it because,
see what happens.
You know, we have the license, so let's just do it. And boom. And so now everybody's kind of... scurrying around, regrouping.
Yeah, that's right.
After this movie, because this shouldn't have happened.
No,
is my point.
Well, mm-hmm. but you know what? I've been doing a lot of reading about the Deadpool movie mm-hmm. and why it's been doing so well. And you know, they're saying that. I mean, this movie, the director was awesome. The writing was fantastic. They made a movie that was comical. That was refreshing. It was different. It was the first R-rated superhero movie, if you want to call it a superhero movie. So everything about it is different. And apparently a lot of the Hollywood executives are looking at this movie and saying, hey, maybe we can start making more movies like this. But the problem is, what I've been reading is that they may get the wrong idea. They may get the idea that, hey, it's okay to break the fourth wall and it's okay to make a comedy.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not just that. It's not. It's about going back to, you know, good writing and making mm-hmm. something interesting.
Yeah. You want to know? Here's a little Shecky insider opinion.
Shecky insider opinion.
Yeah, okay.
We never have enough of that.
No.
I'm going to give it to you right now.
Give it to me.
Just like X was going to give it to you.
How easy is it to get rid of after?
Oh, it stays with you for a long time.
Does it?
Oh, yeah, I stick with you.
Okay.
Like,
go ahead, Trey.
Like I was saying, like, X was going to give it to you in mm-hmm. terms of DMX with his big, like, that was a big single. Like, that was a big outbreak record that, you know, a breakout record that he had back in early 2000. That's what they used for the trailer. Massive pump, massive hype to it.
Yeah.
And then they also had, what was that other song? Shoot by Salt and Pepper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good soundtracks that sell in the trailers.
Shoopy-doop.
Yeah.
That one? Yeah, Shoopy-doop, yeah. Yep.
Close enough.
And then in Guardians of the Galaxy, with all that retro 70s mix, right? I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, right? That was actually the first soundtrack that actually hit number one on Billboard Top 40 or whatever for sales that didn't have an original song in it.
Wow. Right.
It was all just... So if I've learned anything from these two films that have broke the mold and done unexpected
things?
beyond things, it's... A soundtrack that kills, and that you can utilize in a really good hype trailer,
right?
Because you know what? As soon as the trailer gets released, people start buzzing, they start talking, and Deadpool. There's no contest. As soon as the trailer got released for that, the internet broke. Right,
as soon as the quote unquote
leaked footage came out, all the fans went crazy. Right?
I love it when it leaks.
Yeah. not everyone agrees, but not always.
Yeah. But yeah, the leaked footage came out, which, you know, everybody's saying now was leaked intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, and just to see what kind of fan reaction they would get, and of course it was fantastic. So you know what, this is doing phenomenally well, and of course now they're talking about having a sequel to the movie.
Of course, yeah.
But interestingly enough, I was reading an article about the fact that they want to do a sequel, and apparently the director doesn't want a huge budget.
Right. Like he was saying, it worked this time.
It worked this time. And he was saying, you know what? Huge budgets work great for movies like The Avengers. Where
Star Wars,
where you have to have these sweeping vistas.
Visuals.
And like, you know, aliens up the wazoo.
CGI.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. Whereas he said, I want another, you know, $58 million budget. Yep. So, you know, be constrained a little bit to be creative with what you've got.
Yep.
And it was great.
Enough to pay for some explosions, some car chases, some CGI, hopefully CGI impalement.
That's right.
In various regions of the body. And that's all you really need. They don't need to be going to space and flying in rocket ships or anything. So,
all right. So we are going to get a sequel.
Yes,
And you know what? I think, you know, I mean, obviously fans are happy.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
But you know, it was probably just as happy as all the local comic book shops. We're here, by the way, on 93.3.
Right.
CFMU McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station.
Yep.
To champion the local comic book shop.
We are here for that.
Yeah. And local comic book shops love the fact that Deadpool is successful because local comic book shops have a lot of Deadpool stuff.
Right.
Like,
they do.
Deadpool is one of the staples of local comic book shops. So you know how local comic book shops will have baskets of goods.
Yes.
They'll have their comic books. They'll have their graphic novels. They'll have their apparel. They'll have their toys. They'll have their knickknacks. They'll have their blind pack stuff, all that stuff. Every one of those things is well represented by Deadpool.
Yeah, agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
So the fact that this movie did well bodes well for local comic books.
That's not just in comic book shops. If you go to the mall, you go to places like, you know, Journeys or, you know, with those.
Like the Spencer Gifts type stuff.
They're chock full of Deadpool stuff.
Hey,
as
don't
well.
Be plugging Spencer Gifts on our radio.
I'm just saying. Okay. You know what? We're here to champion comic book stuff.
Comic book shops.
Right. Shops.
All right. Hey, listen. So it's funny that you guys talked about how the internet and how they're happy with this R-rated thing, and they want the movie, and they want to go, and they're thinking about doing more R-rated movies and stuff like that. Well, because again, I'm an insider,
right?
I got an email from my buddy down in Hollywood.
Okay,
Who will remain anonymous? Else I'll stop getting these emails.
Right. I was going to ask you what his name is, but you know.
Walt. He says in the email, they've got a plethora
right.
of new films that they're working on.
Right.
And there's a lot of working titles, and he sent them to me.
Oh, nice.
And,
okay.
And he told, you know, but I wanted to turn this around a little bit on you guys.
It's so good that you're an insider like this to get this key information.
Key. So I've got the titles, and I've got the character that they want to write these R-rated movies
for. Okay, let's hear it.
But I figured what I'm going to do with you guys is I'm going to say the title.
Okay.
And I'm going to have you guys guess
the character.
The character.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah. So the first R-rated movie, you get a whole list, but I'll start with, there's one called Eat Me.
Eat Me.
Eat Me.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, I see this bit's going to do well.
Eat me. Matter Eater Lad.
That is a Black Widow vehicle.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
They're thinking that we're doing a Black Widow movie called Eat Me, because as you... Never mind, I don't even
I get it. I already know. I don't want to go into science here, but well done.
There's a... there's one called Sausage Party.
Sausage Party?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
No. Justice League of America?
No.
Oh,
no.
Porky Pig.
Porky Pig.
No, that's the Bratwurst Gang.
The Bratwurst Gang. Right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's the supervillains. Yeah. They're doing a movie, the Knotwurst, the Vicewurst, when they link up and they're sausages. Yeah. And they're
like Voltron.
Yeah.
What book was that from?
I think that was Elongated Man, number two.
Right.
It was their first appearance of the Knotwurst, the Bratwurst Gang.
Right.
Their movie is tentatively called The Sausage Party.
Nice. Okay.
R-rated, by the way.
All right.
Okay.
Bring your mustard.
Yeah. There's one called Hard on. I mean, sorry, I misread it. Hard on villains.
Hard on villains.
Yeah, hard on villains.
Hard on. Boy, hard,
if you read that wrong, it sounds.
Hard on villains.
Hard on villains.
Hard on villains. Yeah. Hard on.
Oh, that's
gotta, I don't know.
Hard
that's
got to be my thing. The thing.
The thing.
The thing.
That's the thing.
Oh,
was
it? Yeah. Right, right.
They're
doing
that because the FF tanked so
badly. He's gonna have a solo movie.
He's gonna have a solo movie.
Sorry, I like that.
That's right. Good. Yeah. That's good. Hey,
hard on villains.
That's a ding, ding, ding. I
yeah,
get
yeah,
a.
Shaky gets
oh
one.
Man,
yeah.
He got one. There's one called Hung Low.
Hung Low.
Yeah, Hung Low.
Shang-Chi, Master Kung Fu.
Where'd you get that from?
No.
Hung Low. It's a Two Gun Kid vehicle. They're trying to do a Western.
Oh, okay.
But they're doing
right.
an R-rated thing.
Okay.
Hung Low because he likes to wear the holsters low.
Oh,
when
right.
he draws
right,
the gun.
Okay, right, yeah.
So Hung Low. Yeah. Man, maybe I should have went. I should have maybe done this bit this way.
Okay. No, it's not a bit. It's information.
Information. Sorry.
Insider talk.
There's one called tentatively. Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Oh, I know that one. That's the Welcome Back, Kotter, the John Travolta story.
No.
Oh.
No.
No.
No. It's.
I know. A Plastic Man.
No.
Because he's rubber. No. Oh.
It's a tentative working title for the R-rated Night Nurse movie.
Oh, I see.
Never mind. Oh my god.
So confusing.
All right. There's one called Stick It.
Stick It.
Yeah.
Stick It. Stick It. The Paste Pot Pete.
No, that's a good. Oh, that's a good one. No,
that's
got to
be a Spidey one.
No, it's Wolverine. Oh, wait a minute. I misread that. That's Snick It.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'll cross that one off the list.
Yeah, thanks,
all right.
Thanks.
But they are doing a Wolverine R-rated, I think.
That is true. Yeah. Think about it.
What else we got? We got, I'm Wet.
I'm Aquaman.
That is an Aquaman movie.
Hey!
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
All right. There's one called.
I didn't think anyone else could possibly get another.
Yeah,
right
I know.
Answer.
I was
you're giving me contests.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. There's one called. Oh, there's a thing called. Actually, it's not a movie. It's called Leave It for Beaver.
Leave It for Beaver. Leave It for Beaver. I'm gonna say Groot.
No, you know what? It's actually
it's gotta be yeah.
Groot
No, it's Leave
wood.
It for
I
Beaver.
Wood, I got wood. Wood.
No. It's actually a PSA. It's an anti-masturbation PSA.
Oh.
So
in that? In health
so which,
class.
Which superhero's in this?
No, it's a PSA.
Oh, it has nothing to do with any.
Nothing
of this.
To do with it. I thought I'd shoehorn it in there because it sounded so good. All right, and the last one is Thanks for Coming.
Uh huh. I don't even want to touch that one.
That is, they're doing. It's not superheroes, but it's pop culture. They're thinking of doing a Schmengi Brother movie.
Schmengi Brothers.
Yeah, Schmengi Brothers. Okay. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Yes.
With the. The coffee and the cabbage rolls.
Mm-mm, good.
All right. Well,
something that this bit wasn't. I'm telling you that much.
We need a cleanse.
Yeah, we
do. We need a Krantz cleanse to wipe away the sins of the past.
The sins of the past.
So you know what?
That's a movie too.
That's
Harry Gamora's vehicle.
Harry Gamora's favorite movie.
Uh-huh.
Please, Shecky, can you please get us out of this this hole we've dug ourselves
into? This hole.
This hole.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's some good stuff right there, Chucky. Thank you.
That got us out of that hole.
Got us out of that hole, that's for sure. Hey,
thank goodness.
We're heading into industry news part two. And,
it's a whole different hole.
Yeah, Shecky has we got holes to
we
dig,
got
Chris.
Holes.
We're going in the number two hole there.
Just call me Auger. do you have a sponsor there, Shecky?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
easy there, Auger.
Oh. Easy, Auger.
Hey, Auger. This is also from Deadpool. Yeah, wouldn't you know it? He makes so much money.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's helping us out. Who personally vows that if his film reaches $1 billion, then he'll wedgie Donald Trump on public TV.
I would like to see that.
And I think a lot of other Americans especially might
want to see that. Yeah. My money's on Trump.
Trump.
You know? Yeah.
Trump. He's got better hair than Deadpool.
Yeah. Hey, listen. So I want to talk about this last week. I actually was following this auction, this Heritage Signature Auction that ended February 19th, I think it was. The buzz was around this Amazing Fantasy number 15. Chris,
yes.
Maybe you can tell the listening audience what the importance of Amazing Fantasy number 15 is.
Well, Amazing Fantasy 15 is the first appearance of Spider-Man.
Exactly right.
Yes.
It wasn't in Spider-Man number 1.
No, it was not.
No. So there was a CGC, it's a company that grades comics, assigns them grades. A CGC graded 9.4 went up for auction.
So on almost minty kind of comic.
Yeah, it just looks brand new.
Looks brand new. Okay, perfect.
There are three comics better than this comic. There are three graded at 9.6 of this Amazing Fantasy 50.
All right,
so this is probably tied for the fourth best comic. Because I think there's six or seven 9.4s.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So this is like the creme de la creme.
Nice. Right?
Well, with everyone loving Spider, they probably don't come up very often.
Yeah, they don't. They not in this grade, they don't. Yeah. This is like a 99.7 percentile of the number of books graded. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this would be like, you know, there's like 2,000 of these things graded or whatever, and this is like the fourth best or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah.
So the last one back in 2011 got $325,000.
Wow.
And this one closed at
$454,000.
U.S. dollars.
Wow.
Which is a record for a 9.4.
Wow.
And so this is like a really, really good, positive kind of result for the high-end comic book market.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's almost $500,000.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, there's the thing with the story behind the 9.6 is this, that when it sold for $1.1 million about 4 years ago or 5 years ago, it was the only 9.6 that existed.
Right.
Oh.
And so I remember discussing with somebody emailed me like a year after when the second 9.6 was posted.
Right, right.
And they go, hey, Walt, you know, look at this, another 9.6. I wonder how that guy that spent $1.1 million is feeling right now.
Right, right, right.
And you know what? With this result, though, I think that guy's money's safe.
I think so.
I think these 9.6s will probably all fetch north of $1 million.
Yeah, I think
it's
so.
It's an absolutely crazy market.
That's crazy.
But even crazier, I wanted to get to this, even crazier. So we all know Fantastic Four number 52.
Right.
It introduces the character, the Black Panther.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, now Black Panther is going to be appearing in the next Marvel movie, which is coming out May 6th, Captain America, The Civil War.
Yes, yes. And then he's going to get his own vehicle sometime later on, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it's like 2018 or something like that.
Yeah.
So 9.4, that's Spider-Man. Well, there are no 9.8 Amazing Fantasy 15s.
Right.
There happens to be four 9.8 Fantastic Four number 52s.
Right.
So this is very, very high. They're the highest grades, and there's four of them.
Okay.
It's the highest graded copy, but there's four graded copies. 9.8s were selling. There were actually three 9.8s sold about 3 years ago over the space of a year.
Okay.
Three different copies.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all range from 17 to 22,000.
Okay, yeah.
But of course, 3 years is a long time ago, and a lot of news and movie news and hype and buzz has come out.
Yeah.
And this copy sold for $83,000.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Yeah.
This is for a Fantastic Four number 52. Not number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
number 52.
Number 52.
First appearance of the Black Panther.
Crazy.
And, yes. And at that point, you know, you're looking at, what year is that, Walt? Are you looking at like late 66?
66.
Comic books have already gone, you know, through so much, all the number ones, all of the, you know, a lot of the big heroes appearing in not their own titles, in the monster books, you know,
Yep.
Those are the ones that, to me, should, you know, be able to demand the 50-plus thousand. You know,
yeah, you're right, but apparently,
now, is this because,
make room for these.
Now, is this because this is now one of the first black superheroes? Like, first popular black superhero? Because I know there's black superheroes before that, yeah, but this is, like, the most popular one?
Yeah, I think it may be. I think he's kind of the first of note. The black superhero.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Until this point, he's like a C-list character, maybe?
He was for years. He was for years.
I mean, kind of like how Iron Man, it took Robert Downey to really...
Iron Man was still a B-lister. Yeah. He was still ahead of...
but he wasn't in the spotlight.
Yeah. No,
but,
he was,
I mean,
still
this
ahead
is even more in the dungeon than Iron Man.
So, okay, so with this happening now, I got to ask you, is it a good idea for anybody to invest in comics?
Absolutely. Like, look at results, Chris.
But like,
look at the
you know,
results.
How much higher are they going to go?
I don't know.
Can you tell me.
Can
you buy another 9.8?
Okay, let me tell you this. Okay. Any kind of art, any kind of thing. That's a good thing that you asked that. Okay, so let's talk about Amazing Fantasy 15 versus Fantastic Four number 52.
Right.
Okay. So that copy of Amazing Fantasy 15 that sold was the fourth best copy.
Right.
It was a 9.4, less than this book.
Right.
But it's irrelevant because it was still kind of tied for the fourth best copy.
Right, right.
Okay? And it got $454,000. Now, hold on.
Yep.
This is tied for the first best copy, the best
best
copy.
Right, right.
So it's technically scarcer than the Amazing Fantasy 15 because there is no better book copy than this book.
I see what you're saying.
Now, what I'm getting to is how big will the Black Panther be? Do characters usurp each other in terms of popularity? Of course they do.
Sure.
Look, you take 1978 and you take the character Submariner versus Iron Man, my money's on Submariner.
Absolutely.
Now it's on Iron Man.
Yep.
Who's to say by default that Spidey will always be the top dog to Black Panther?
Right.
That's my point, is maybe this isn't crazy. Maybe this is the best known copy of a character that has huge upside.
Right.
And so maybe this is going to be a bargain 5 years from now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
So should people go out and buy copies of the first appearance of Deadpool, New Mutants number 98? And should they, you know, even though I'm sure now, what would a New Mutants number 98 sell for now?
Well, it's funny that you asked that.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. Okay.
But let's run the same exercise, okay? Well, let's bore the people some more.
All right.
Scarcity of grade happens at different levels for different books.
Right.
Based on age and based on whatever. So as we can see, a 9.6 is the top end for an Amazing Fantasy 15. As we can see, a 9.8 is the top end for a Fantastic Four number 52.
Right.
Deadpool, I'm going to lie, but there are hundreds and hundreds of 9.8s.
Right.
Hundreds.
Right.
And they sell for about $700-ish each.
Okay.
U.S. $1,000 roughly Canadian.
Yep.
There are, I'm going to lie again, I think 6 9.9s.
Okay.
And they sell for $7,000.
Wow.
So here's my question to you. If one of the top four Black Panthers just got $83,000, why isn't one of the top six Deadpools, who's probably a more important character, only getting $7,000?
Right.
Why isn't it getting $95,000?
Right.
So what I'm saying is maybe there is room. Maybe it is a good time to jump on a 9.9 New Mutants 98, the first appearance of Deadpool.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, I think the money is eventually going to go to scarcity of grades. So because the big money guys are going to want to have the top books.
Right.
So you get a 7.5 Deadpool first appearance. That thing might trade for $100.
Right.
Or whatever, $200.
So what would a 9.6 sell for?
Like maybe 500? 400, 500, right? 9.8, maybe 700, 800.
Yep.
A 9.9, 7,000. But if you look at the Spidey, Black Panther and Deadpool exercise, all three have the same scarcity.
Yeah,
so now it's what does it come down to? The weight of the character?
Right.
Well, according to you guys, Deadpool's about as hot
I
as he can get.
It's also the age, I guess, too.
Yeah,
it has to be, right?
Well, it's the popularity of the character and everything, right?
But it can't be the age because it has to be scarcity. What's age have to do with scarcity?
Okay, so, well, hold on a second here. So I've got a copy of Jet Dream at
home. Yeah, you do. I want that one.
I know you do. at home, Jet Dream that, you know, nobody cares about.
Mm-hmm.
It might be in, you know, a 9.6 condition.
Yep.
Right? But nobody cares about it.
Right.
I'm never going to get $7,000 for that
book.
But
you're missing the main ingredient of commerce is demand.
Right.
Right.
Right. Okay. So that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing.
Oh,
with you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm agreeing. Sorry, with you. I get it. Yeah.
Because right. So just because so not everybody wants Deadpool 98.
Right.
Or New Mutants 98, right? Yeah. No, but not everybody wants that. Whereas mm-hmm. everybody wants a Black Panther.
I don't know. I think you're wrong. I think everybody wants a New Mutants 98. I think there are more people chasing a New Mutants 98 than there are a FF52. Guaranteed.
Think so?
Absolutely.
We'll wait until after the next Black Panther movie. Then all we'll right. see how that goes.
All right, Flintstone. Next movie, you're
next
in.
Next movie, all right.
All right. Anyway.
Let's have a quick musical interlude, yes. and then we'll cut back. And
we talked way too much commerce.
I know,
there.
We really did. Yeah, we're boring people.
Shecky loves when you talk about money.
all right, let's hear what you got for us.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom, dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, Chris.
What's that? What are you going to tell me?
Shecky is producing today.
He
you know,
is
we got
producing.
A producer.
I know.
And he is producing.
He is
you
producing.
Notice how he interjected, what's the word I'm looking for?
Interjected.
Threw in.
Yeah.
That Legion of Doom and the Justice of Super Friends.
Yeah,
is that what I just said?
That's
did
what
say
it's
that
called,
right?
The Justice of Super Friends.
He did that to segue yeah. into the next topic that we're going to talk
about. Did he now?
Yeah, no. I think he did. Or it's just a fluke.
I think it's just a fluke.
You think so?
Yeah, lucky guess.
You all know right. how many nights I go sleepless trying to plan this show?
Too many. Too many. Shecky, so we're going into more industry news. You have a sponsor.
I do, and guess who it is?
Dr. Deadpool.
No, you fools. By Harley Quinn.
Oh.
Who now demands her own film so she can also get paid to run her mouth.
Nice.
That's true. That nice. Is very true.
That
all
might
right.
be one of your
I was going to go somewhere with
that's
that.
That's an R-rated Hollywood insider
yeah.
one too, maybe.
Gonna
I don't
go
know.
Out there. Yeah. Hey, so listen. Funny that music played again because we're going to talk about the starting of the filming of the Warner Bros.
Bros.
A new Justice League movie.
Right.
And is it Justice League?
Justice League. Yes.
Yeah. Zack Snyder.
Yep.
And so there's buzz and excitement around that internet about the start date of, when is it, April 11th this year.
They're starting on April 11th, yeah. and then it's actually coming out November 17th,
right? But it's official. They're starting to film.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So,
good.
So when, guys, when are we going to see when are we going to see leaked trailers?
Oh, that's a good
probably
point.
Later
that's
in the summer
point.
Or something
yeah.
like that,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
How big is this movie now? So you know a bit more about the chronology of what's happening here. So obviously, the Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman thing,
yep.
is going to tie into this thing,
correct?
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
So my question is a couple, I guess.
Right.
Is there's fear? There is, guys. There's fear.
Yep.
That the Superman, Batman flop will derail the whole DC
yes.
cinematic project.
I can everything. See that happening. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's. And this film, even now, just kind of keeps revealing which other characters are in it. So now, you know, they've got Flash, Aquaman, joining Wonder Woman with
yeah.
Batman and Superman, obviously, in this yeah. film. So they're all being touched
yeah.
in some way in this film. So if this film does badly...
Inappropriately, sometimes.
That's right.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, it's a dark film.
Uh-huh.
If it flops in any way, they could all risk their initial publicity being tainted as well.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, Aquaman goes on to have a great standalone film
yeah.
that's better than any of the rest of the DC,
mm-hmm.
it could still receive that initial wah-wah-wah because it's affiliated with this.
I think that this movie, I think Batman versus Superman, is so hyped. I think it's going to
yeah.
make enough movie in its first couple weekends.
Make enough
that,
movie?
Make enough make money. Enough. Make enough movie.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Make enough money.
I got to make enough movie.
It's
going
to make enough
make
money.
Make you happy.
to,
ladies are
to,
all about
to
that movie.
At least uh-huh. warrant another movie
yeah.
after that.
Yeah.
And then After that, it's going to be Wonder Woman. Now, I'm hearing nothing but good things about Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
and
sure
then after that,
are.
It's going to be the Justice League.
But here's the thing. This is different in a way than the Marvel thing, and I'm gonna explain.
Explain.
The Marvel thing almost happened, I won't say accidentally, but more organically.
Right.
They realized at the beginning as they did it, and then they tied in a little bit, and they tied in a little bit more, and they tied in a little bit more, that they were on to something. And then they took that kind of momentum and snowball effect that they had and they made it bigger and tied together more and everything like that.
Right.
So they didn't know what to expect, and they were pleasantly surprised. This is totally different. This is now Warner Brothers behind the eight ball seeing what Disney's doing.
Right.
And this is them having a grandiose scheme for all their characters and movies, basically to mimic what went on over here.
Absolutely.
And so this is now way too much pressure put on one movie for you can cut the tension with a knife. Like me a fan, me as a person that works in the industry, is like nervous almost about how well received this is going to be, how good the movie's going to be, how well it's going to do financially, all that kind of stuff. It's almost like it shouldn't be this important, this Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman
movie. And you know what, my problem with this movie is that it's too dark. It's too dark. I mean, it's too like
Batman type
like
dark.
Yeah, it gets too much of it, right?
Yeah,
I get it. I mean, comic book movies are supposed to be kind of a little bit light and fun. But Batman can be dark, but I don't want to have everything dark in my comic book movies. I don't want to have a dark Superman and a dark Wonder Woman and like everything's all just depressing.
I think they're riding that Christopher Nolan Batman train.
They are completely.
It did the best out of any DC film.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. Yeah. All the Superman take. Didn't work, but the Batman takes did.
Right.
So if you're throwing money behind it, what are you going to do if you're a suit?
Fair enough.
Look, JB.
Yeah.
Let's go dark.
Let's go dark.
I don't know. You kind of have that feel like everybody's rooting for this movie and nobody wants it to tank. Not just because of the movie itself. It almost represents not the movie, but this whole vision, this whole enterprise, this whole cinematic project.
But again, I've said it before. I don't understand. So Marvel was able to parlay the movies and the TV shows and tie them all together. Why can't DC do that too? Because Arrow was successful. Flash is successful. Successful enough to make Supergirl and then DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So why they're able to do TV shows that aren't this giant, really dark movies. And so why can't they parlay that into regular movies?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they can.
But
and I'm hoping that they can.
I don't know. I'm worried for it. But anyways,
I'm worried for it too. All right, let's jump over to something a little bit more positive and exciting.
Okay,
the free comic book day orders are in, and Diamond Comic Distribution has announced that there have been over 6 million pre-orders.
I heard that. That's amazing.
For free comic book
day,
up from last year's 5.6 million pre-orders.
That's amazing. Yeah. So 5.6. No, sorry, 6 million.
Yeah.
Is it 6 million?
Six million.
Six million.
Yeah. Three up on the top. It says free comic book days pre-orders top 6 million. I figure I put that up on the top.
Oh,
so you
sorry.
Can read
I was looking at last year's 5.6.
Of course you
sorry.
Were.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Keep talking. Yeah. It's all you.
It's all you. I'm just gonna stop here. All right. You know what?
Anyway, good
job there, Walt.
I'm going to get to.
We
point.
Fall into another hole here.
Yeah, a hole. Yeah. Free Comic Book Day is such a great event.
It is.
It's so much fun, and it still is a way to get new people into local comic book shops because we do champion the local comic.
Okay,
book shop.
Okay. My question to you.
You just didn't want me to go to CFMU there, did you?
No.
Okay.
My question to you is. So Free Comic Book Day has been happening for 15 years now, okay? Are there really that many people that have never come into a comic book store before still coming in? Or are there people that are just coming in to get the free comic and then leave?
I would have to say there has to be just because every year certain generations of the kids, you know, who might be turning 9 or 10 and are right at that point where it's – now I want to read. I want to try reading a comic.
Okay,
and Chris, have you ever met a girl and you're not that sure on the first date? So you go out on a second and you're not that sure.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, going on a first date, maybe second and third. Well, I'm out.
Right on. Yeah. You notice I didn't ask Checky that because what's the use?
I know, right? Yeah.
I usually don't get to the second.
Right. So my point is sometimes the people that come for the second, third, fourth year, they need a little while to convince.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's kind of they come and then they may have frequented their local shop once or twice that year by accident, and then the event happens again, and they go again, and then slowly we pull them in, right?
Or, I mean, what I could, you know, see happening is, again, there's a lot of diversity in the crowd, but there are
diversity.
There are a lot of youngsters, though, right? So let's say, you know, you've got a couple friends who come into the comic store all the time, they get their books, and then, you know, in school or whatever, they say, hey, you know, Billy, you should come with us because it was like crazy last year. It was so good. You get some free books. And then someone who's not really thinking of reading comics necessarily are kind of, you know, enticed to come along because all their friends are going and making a Saturday out of it.
Right.
You know, and then they come, they pick up, they say, hey, this is pretty neat. And, you know, maybe they wade in that way, right? Yep. They need
all
a
right,
little
that's
encouragement.
Fair. Yep. That's fair. Okay, yeah. I'll buy that. I'll buy that.
But, you know, it is that one showcase time of the year where we do, as comic shops, get free publicity because the free comic book day kind of publicity machine and local media usually picks up on it and stuff like that.
Now, okay, so again, so I'm gonna bend your ear here.
Bend it.
So I'm the local news corporation, and you guys have been doing this for 15 years. Why am I going to come by and support this again?
Free swag for the reporters.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
And booze.
Now you're talking my language.
John,
okay, now
I don't know if I have time. Listen, I bought a case of Stella. I'll be there at 10.
What kind of scotch you like?
Yeah, what kind of scotch you like? See, you gotta grease the wheels, Chris.
Okay, now I get it.
All right, let's keep going here because we got stuff. I know you like this story. You pointed me to this story. It says here on eBay, they did a big study, and they found out that male eBay sellers get higher prices
than female
eBay sellers.
So true.
Obviously, they aren't shopping for the same thing Owen is.
I don't think
the females get way more than the males. stuff he's looking for.
I would think so.
Yeah, that is for darn sure. Yeah.
So the study had looked at 630,000 transactions. So this is a massive sample size.
Big study.
So it's like kind of scientific.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of wanted to
2009 to 2012.
Yeah.
And so they used the data provided by eBay for seller reputation, experience, number of photos, uses of bold lettering, description of wording, and other elements. So they looked at how all the sellers actually sell things.
Yeah.
And it turns out men are doing a better job at it than women.
Now, why is that? Now, it said, let's say, video games.
Yes.
So if a guy lists a video game, he'll get more money, everything else being equal, than if a girl lists a video game.
Yeah, I don't get it.
How does that
happen? I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know.
So
maybe I don't know.
And there are a few things that actually there are a few things that girls get more money for than guys, but... But the general trend is that guys will get more than girls. And the difference on back issue stuff, and this is a great study in human nature too. The difference on back issue stuff is only like 3%.
Really?
Meaning that back issue people, they don't care
who's selling it.
I finally found that Harry Gamora number two.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Been nickel and diamond for 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But on new stuff.
So, okay. Well, so my question about this is, so we don't know how many. So it says here the difference between on say Nintendo Wii was up by 20%, right?
Yeah.
So how many women sellers were selling Wii games as opposed to male sellers?
But I think
I mean, what if there was 100 male sellers and 5 women, and they really didn't know what they were doing?
Well, what does it matter?
Well, but
it said everything else being equal, the number of photos, use of bold lettering, they using data provided by eBay, controlled for seller reputation experience numbers. So they basically factored all that in.
Right.
You know, maybe they put little, you know, girls maybe put little hearts or something in front of their Wii or the game or something like that. They've basically factored all that in.
Guys love little hearts in front of their Wii.
Is it Valentine's Day yet? No. Oh, my, my. Anyway, it's kind of an interesting,
study in biases.
Know,
it must come across without the buyers even, like, I mean, realistically, when you buy on eBay, you don't look at the seller and then see if there's, like, a unicorn for their, like, their background or if there's, like, you
know, I do.
A transformer or something.
I think what this is saying, Shecky, is that subconsciously we do.
Or is it just that they gear better to the market? Like guys, you know, especially for video games, predominantly a guy buying Force, right? They know how to market it better. They kind of talk it up. They hit the key
points. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at.
You know what I mean? Like they might actually have some influence that isn't just
you. Are you saying the girls don't know what they're doing? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying
is that what you're saying on live air on the radio?
I'm saying statistically, and I could back this up if you let me.
His name is Shecky Feldstein.
Shecky Feldstein.
That I remove my remarks CFMU. And I abstain from committing further to this conversation.
It's a very wise decision.
Right, very wise decision. All right, listen.
No, I get what you're saying. I don't know what it is. Why? I mean, as Shecky was saying, I never look at who the seller is. You know, other than to see what the score, their score
and
is.
Sometimes, like, their names that will be ridiculous things that are, you know, what is it? What's the word? Androgynous?
Ambidextrous?
Yeah, ambidextrous. So you can't even tell what they are. You know, like, their name will be, like, just a bunch of initials, like an acronym, and numbers. So you don't even know what they are.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's leave that alone. Yeah. Hey, listen, we have an announcement to make.
We do.
So we will be at the Toronto Comic Con. Shecky and I will be anyway. Oh. I think Chris, are you coming?
When is it?
I know what's coming here.
Yeah, what is it?
March 21st, 22nd.
Oh, I'll be there. All right. I'll try to be there.
That's at, I think, the Metro Toronto Convention
Center. Hey, am I working for you that weekend?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Just
I can't afford you.
No, and it's very true.
Shecky, on the other hand.
Yeah, who works for peanuts.
Yeah.
Literally.
We'll be at the, I think it's called the Toronto Comic Con. So actually, if you go on to fanexpo.com.
Yeah.
And there's a link on top for the Toronto Comic Con, which is the spring con for them. It's at Metro Toronto Convention Center. And you know what? There's a half. I don't have the details in front of me, but I looked. There's a half decent lineup of guests. And,
well, you know what? We'll bring that up maybe in the next show when it gets really close to it.
Oh, it's not close. What date is it now?
February.
Oh, wow.
I think it's 4 weeks away. It's 4 weeks away this weekend.
Yeah, well, it's never too early to plan in my
books. No, start saving because those stars don't charge
nothing. And I have a scoop. We're going to record a live show at that.
Why do you keep saying these things? We never do.
No.
How are we going to do a live show if we don't let Chris in?
I guess I got to let him in. Well, anyway, we look forward to seeing everybody
it's
there.
It's March 18th to the 20th.
Yes.
All right. And it's at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. And let's just see what else we got here. Hold on. You meet the cast of Sailor Moon.
Oh,
yeah. Walt, you can finally get that autograph you wanted.
On my leg.
Don't worry. I'll watch the booth for you that day. You can go get that one.
Thanks.
There you go. Deadpool creator Rob Liefeld.
Hey, Deadpool stuff.
Will be announced.
Hey, you know what? I wanted to talk to you. I know we're running out of time, but Rob Liefeld created Deadpool.
He did.
Rob Liefeld is the butt of everybody's jokes.
Yeah.
Rob Liefeld, as the creator of Deadpool, has probably made $1 billion in the last 2 days. He's now got the last laugh on anybody.
That's
That's the most poetic justice possible. Because all these Jim Lees and Stan Lees and Bruce Lees that thought they were way better than Rob Liefeld back in the Image days. And Harry McFarlane, what's his name?
Todd McFarlane. Harry McFarlane.
He's got a brother named Harry. They were all like, oh, look at us and look at you.
And now Rob Liefeld, he's
and
just
now Rob
like,
Liefeld, hey, you know what? My movie
he's
just
he's
made
rolling
$100
bills and smoking them.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
Right.
Listen, I think that's it, right?
That is all the time we have for today.
All right. Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein and engineered by Chris Owen. We're on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. And as always, we are on 93.3 CFMU McMaster's award-winning radio station. So please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.